Sister, Israel. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales, Australia. May 21st, 1896. My very dear sister, I am much pained to hear of your affliction. The Lord has given me a message for you. His word to you is, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flames kindle upon thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed, yea, I have made him." Isaiah 43, verse 1, 2, 4, 6, 7. My sister, you desire to please the Lord Jesus, and you can do this by believing that he has forgiven your sins. Will you not look to the Lord and commit the keeping of your soul to him as unto a faithful Creator? He loves you, and he does not want you to spend your days in mourning over your sins. Everything that God could do, he has done to manifest his great love and mercy to you. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. Then rest in the assurance of the love of God. Open the door of your heart, and let the sunbeams of Christ's righteousness drive away the shadow of sadness and grief. Not because we first loved him did God love us, but while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, making full and abundant provision for our redemption. Romans 5, verse 8. Although by our disobedience we have merited God's displeasure and condemnation, yet he has not forsaken us, leaving us to grapple with the power of the enemy and our own finite strength. Heavenly angels fight our battles for us, and cooperating with them, we may be victorious over the powers of evil. Trusting in Christ as our personal Savior, we may be more than conquerors. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Isaiah 42, verse 5 to 7. This precious assurance of God to his Son, his anointed, embraces all who receive Jesus Christ. For John says, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." John 1, verse 12. To every one the Lord presents terms of mercy. As we draw nigh to him by faith, he draws nigh to us, adopting us into his family, and making us his sons and daughters. By disobeying the commands of God, man fell under the condemnation of the law. This fall called for the grace of God to appear in behalf of sinners. We would never have learned the meaning of this word grace had we not fallen. God loves the sinless angels who do his service and are obedient to all his commands. But he does not give them grace. These heavenly beings know naught of grace. They have never needed it, for they have never sinned. Grace is an attribute of God shown to undeserving human beings. We did not seek after it, but it was sent in search of us. God rejoices to bestow this grace on everyone who hungers for it, not because we are worthy, but because we are so utterly unworthy. Our need is the qualification which gives us the assurance that we will receive this gift. But God does not use this grace to make His law of none effect, or to take the place of His law. The Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. His law is truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till He have set judgment in the earth, and the isles will wait for His law. Isaiah 42, verse 21 and 4. God gave to man a perfect law. An imperfect law would have perpetuated sin, made God the author of sin. Jesus came to condemn sin in the flesh, to bear the curse of sin for us, and He took the law from beneath the feet of those that were trampling upon it and made it honorable. He kept His Father's commandments, and only by being a partaker of the divine nature can man keep them.
God's grace and the law of His kingdom are in perfect harmony. They walk hand in hand. His grace makes it possible for us to draw nigh to Him by faith. By receiving it and letting it work in our lives, we testify to the validity of the law. We exalt the law and make it honorable by carrying out its living principles. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servants whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared, and have saved, and have showed that there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Isaiah 43, verse 10-12. How may we witness for God? By continuing in disobedience and transgression? No, by rendering pure, wholehearted obedience to God's law. If we will let Him, He will manifest Himself in us, and we shall be witnesses before the universe of heaven and before an apostate world who are making void the law of God to the power of redemption. My sister, do not try to carry your own sins, because they have been borne by the great sin-bearer. The only begotten Son of God voluntarily met the claims of God's violated law. Being one with the Father, He was able to bear the penalty of our disobedience. His divinity, connected with humanity, bore the sins of the whole world. By taking humanity, Christ has exalted the human family. His divinity grasps the throne of the infinite in behalf of man. As our substitute, He took our sins upon Himself, and now intercedes before the Father in our behalf. Not by works of righteousness, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Titus 3, verse 5, 6. Christ was stricken of God and afflicted on our behalf. In all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of His people. For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. Hebrews 2, verse 17-18. Poor, tried, suffering soul, Jesus loves you. A bruised reed shall He not break, and smoking flax shall He not quench. Matthew 12, verse 20. He died on Calvary's cross for you. His sacrifice is all sufficient, and you may be complete in Him. But you cannot possibly save your own soul. Only by the efficacy of the blood of Jesus Christ can you be saved. Why keep your eyes fastened on yourself when your Savior stands beside you saying, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Lay your sins on me. Jesus has sent us a letter from heaven, which gives us an account of the love he has bestowed upon us. If studied, this letter will bring comfort to the distressed and hope to the perishing. My sister, will you not read this letter from God and try to comprehend the love he has for you? Cease thinking and talking of yourself. Let your mind dwell on Jesus and his love, and let that love abide in your soul. Satan will come to you saying, "You are a sinner." But do not let him fill your mind with the thought that because you are sinful, God has cast you off. Say to him, "Yes, I am a sinner, and for that reason I need a Savior. I need forgiveness and pardon, and Christ says that if I come to him, I shall not perish." In his letter to me, I read, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." 1 John 1, verse 9. I will believe the word he has left for me. I will obey his commands. When Satan tells you that you are lost, answer, "Yes, but Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost." The greater my sin, the greater my need of a Savior. The moment you grasp God's promises by faith and say, "I am the lost sheep that Jesus came to save," a new life will take possession of you, and you will receive strength to resist the tempter. But faith to grasp the promises does not come by feeling. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. You must not look for some great change to take place. You must not expect to feel some wonderful emotion. The Spirit of God must make an impression on your mind.
My sister, will you not take God's word on trust, saying, "He loves me, he gave his life for me, and he will save me"? Oh, that the Lord would work in your behalf. Look away from yourself to Jesus. Embrace him as your Savior. Cease to bemoan your helpless condition. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, you will be inspired with hope and will see the salvation of God. When you feel tempted to mourn, force your lips to utter the praises of God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians 4, verse 4. Is he not worthy of praise? Then educate your lips to talk of his glory and to magnify his name. Christ longs to see you resist the adversary of souls. Lift your heart to the Lord, for he is waiting to comfort and strengthen you. Repeat over and over again, "Christ will do all for me." When accused by the ruler of the synagogue for healing a woman on the Sabbath day, Jesus answered, "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, to be loosed from this bond?" Luke 13, verse 16. And today, my sister, the Lord says to you, "Be not discouraged, but cast your burdens upon me. You cannot carry your own sins. I will take them all, and will bring to pass that which is good for my people and my servants, and good for thine own soul. Your loved ones may be buried in the grave, but I am the resurrection and the life. I was dead, but I am alive forevermore. Your friends may be estranged from you, and you may obtain from them no encouragement or solace. They may speak words to you which do not heal the bruises of sin and bereavement. But if you will trust in me, you will not want any good thing. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4. Never has a soul that trusts in Jesus been left to perish. I am He, the Lord declares, that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance, let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Isaiah 43, verse 25, 26. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, Seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am the Lord, and there is none else. Isaiah 45, verse 19, 22. Respond to the calls of God's mercy, my sister, and say, I will trust in the Lord and be comforted, for thou hast loved me. I will praise the Lord, for his anger is turned away.